It is a pleasure to be here and talk to you today and see what great things God is doing here in North Carolina. I spoke in chapel a couple of years after Dr. Patterson arrived, and it's amazing what God has done. And it's just great to be around Christians. You know, sometimes you tell people take care, but we really ought to tell people take over, because that's what God wants us to do, take over. And I see this class, I know that you're going to do that. There was a man, he was drafted in the Army, really didn't want to go. Every office he'd go into, he'd just go through everybody's paper, say, that's not it, that's not it, that's not it. He'd go to somebody else's office, he'd start throwing the papers up there, that's not it, that's not it. He'd go in the captain's office, pick up the papers, that's not it, that's not it. Finally, they sent him to the psychiatrist. The psychiatrist says, you got a problem. He said, no, I don't. He started going through the guy's papers, throwing them up there. That's not it. That's not it. That's not it. Finally, the psychiatrist says, you got a real problem. I'm going to write you out a medical discharge. He handed him the paper and he said, that's it. Well, this is it, isn't it? I mean, this is it. This is big. But before we get through, I want us to stop. Not slow down. Stop. There is a difference. I didn't know there's a difference till the other day. A policeman pulled me over and said, Dr. Lowry, you didn't stop at the stop sign. I said, I really did. He said, you really didn't. I said, well, I slowed down. He said, it's not the same. I said, it really is. It really isn't. I said, well, it's almost the same. He said, no, it isn't. I said, yes, it is. He said, get out of the car. I got out of the car. He started beating me with his billy stick. He said, you want me to stop or you want me to slow down? I said, there really is a difference. So what I want us to do today is I want us to stop. And I want us to think about, how do we live in this thing we call the world today? And of course, the world has a strategy. Unfortunately, it's a very limited strategy of how to live. I know that because I spent many years trying to tell people how to live through being a psychologist. And it's very limited. It's kind of like that school off the coast of Florida. It's a Coast Guard school. They tell you what to do if you're in the water and a shark comes. Let's say if a shark comes and you're in the water and it has its mouth closed, just try to hit its snout and shoo him away. But if a shark comes with its mouth open, take your leg and jam it down that shark's mouth and do as much damage as you can. But then the instructor always smiles and looks up and says, but you can only do that twice. Now, that's a very limited strategy, you understand? But not only does the world have a limited strategy, many times the world just has the wrong strategy. It's easy in this world just to learn the wrong thing. Like this friend of mine, he tried to house train his dog. Every time the dog would go to the bathroom on the carpet, he'd hit him with a paper and throw him out the window. I asked him, how's that working? About 3 weeks later, he said, it's not working very good. He said, the dog goes to the bathroom on the carpet and jumps out the window. Well, the dog learned the wrong thing, you understand. It's very easy in this world to learn the wrong thing. But there's a strategy. There's a strategy that's worked for actually thousands of years. It's a simple strategy. It goes something like this. You're probably familiar with it. It's out of Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pastures. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures for all generations. What an incredible strategy. It starts off with saying, serve the Lord with gladness. You realize if you don't know how to serve the Lord, you're never really going to be glad. You see, so often in churches we get information, but information without application always just leads to frustration. And any good psychologist knows frustration can lead to anger, because some people believe that anger and depression then go together, because some people would say that even depression is anger turned inward, or depression may be just anger without enthusiasm. So what happens is, in churches, if you have information without application, you're going to get frustration and you're going to get mad or sad. You ever been to churches that are just two groups of people? Mad and sad. Why? Because we got a lot of information without application. That's why the Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. And then it says, know that he is God. You realize that he's God and you're not. You're way ahead of the game if you realize that. Otherwise, you're going to have a life of stress. Let me just help you right now. Everybody, just not only graduates, just put your hand over your heart. I'm going to lead you in a little bit of a pledge here. Repeat after me. I, being of sound mind, do hereby acknowledge that I have not, nor have I ever, or will I ever, control the universe. Therefore, I resign as general manager of the universe. Don't you feel better already? That's not your problem. That's God's problem, you see. But the good news is this. You don't have to worry. Why? Because the Lord is good. He's good. You know, I know that the Lord is holy, holy, holy. I know that. But let me just be honest with you, folks. That doesn't give me a lot of comfort. Actually, that scares the liver out of me, knowing that God is holy, holy, holy. Because I know I'm not. I don't know you personally, but you're not either. But let me tell you also that the Lord is good, good, good. Dennis the Menace is one of my favorite theologians. Dennis and his friends, they're leaving Mrs. Wilson's house and they're loaded down with cookies, and the friend just doesn't get it. He turns to Dennis and says, "Man, Mrs. Wilson gives us all these cookies. Does she think we're good?" And Dennis looks at him like, "You gotta be kidding. Mrs. Wilson knows us. She knows we're not good. Mrs. Wilson doesn't give us cookies because we're good. Mrs. Wilson gives us cookies because she's good." My friend, we're here today, those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, not because we're good. We're here because He's good. How do you be joyful in a day like today? I'm going to give you a word, the word thanks. And quickly, I'm going to give you a practical application of each letter. Thanks comes directly out of that Psalms 100. And T stands for think. I don't know if you figured it out yet, but you talk to yourself. We call it self-talk. You tell yourself what things mean. And therefore, whatever you think is what you're going to feel. If there's a snake right there and you're a farmer, you may not have an emotional reaction. It's just a snake. I'm not a farmer, I'm a son of a farmer. It would scare me to death if I saw a snake. If you're a snakeologist or a zoologist or herpetologist, what do they call snake people? You may actually pick up that snake and have a positive emotional reaction to that snake. We'd have all different emotional reactions. It's the same snake, but we think different things about that snake. And the Bible says the key to life, to joy, is renewing your mind. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the way you think. And how do you think? Well, you think the way God tells you to think. H stands for horizon. You look at the long-term view instead of the short-term view. You know that in the end, you win. That makes all the difference in the world. I'm a big Cowboy fan. Paige got me to be a Cowboy fan. They brought me out to Dallas, and Jerry Jones may be the Antichrist. I don't know, but I'm a Cowboy fan. But in Albuquerque, the Cowboy game is on at a different time. I'm actually preaching when the Cowboys are playing on TV. And that puts me in a conflict. They used to put the score, they would flash it on the teleprompter as I was preaching, but it would get confused. I'd say, "Matthew 23-6," and and it confused the people. So I told the TV people, "Don't do that anymore." So now Penny will go up to my office and we'll put the game on videotape. We'll record the game as church is going on. Then I'll meet the people. I'll go out to eat and relax and come back and get the tape so I can take it home and watch the game. But invariably, I run into a deacon. Any deacons here? Raise your hand. Let's see if you've got any deacons. Yeah, deacons. You know what the little boy said? Jesus went around healing, doing miracles, and casting out deacons. So But there's always a deacon, and I'll come back to church to pick up my tape, and I'll run into that deacon, and that deacon will say, "Man, did you hear? Cowboys won 24-10. I'm going, "Oh, no, man. I was going to go home and watch a game. Now I know the score. I know the outcome." But I'm a big fan. I go home and watch it anyway, and it's amazing the difference it makes in my attitude. I mean, Emmett fumbled. How can you fumble up? "Oh, we won. Try to do better next time." You see, when you win in the end, all this stuff really doesn't matter so much. When you look on the horizon, and E stands for appreciate. Appreciate what you have. You see, we live in a fallen world. That means you may have a treasure inside of you, but it's covered by an earthen vessel. What does that mean? That means there's dirt around everything in this world. There's something wrong with everything. Might as well just accept it. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with this building. There's something wrong with your car. You don't know it yet, but there's something wrong with everything. But you can appreciate the good. My kids have taught me so much. When Brianne, my youngest, was ready to ride the bike, she was about 6 years of age. We lived in Texas, and I took her to Wet n' Wild Water Park, Arlington, Texas. I said, Brianne, today you're going to be a bike rider. I had to learn how to ride on sand and rocks, but you're going to ride on asphalt. You're going to go fast. You're going to feel the wind against your face. You're going to be a bike rider. She was excited. I was excited. We got that bicycle out. I said, look at this park. Nobody's here today. It's the fall of the year. Look at all that asphalt. You're going to be a bike rider. She was excited, but she said, Daddy, what's that way down there? I said, don't worry about it. Look at this asphalt. You're going to be a bike rider. I said, Daddy, isn't that a pole? I said, don't worry about that pole. Look at that asphalt. You're gonna be a bike rider. What if I hit the pole? You're not gonna hit the pole. Look at the asphalt. You're gonna be a bike rider. If I hit the pole, it's gonna hurt. It's not gonna hurt you. You're not gonna hit the pole. Look at this asphalt. Let's go, Brianne. You know how to teach a kid how to ride a bike. You run like crazy. I was running like crazy. She was feeling the wind. I said, feel the wind against your face. You're a bike rider, just like your big sister. You're going so good. I said, Daddy, what if I hit the pole? You're not gonna hit the pole, Brianne. Look at that asphalt. Go, Brianne. Go. And I let her go. And she headed straight for that pole. She started hollering, Daddy, I'm headed for the pole. I said, then turn it to the right. Look at all that asphalt. Turn the right, Brianne. She said, Daddy, I can't turn to the right. I'm headed for the pole. I said, turn it to the left. Look at all that asphalt on the left. Turn to the left, Brianne. She said, Daddy, I can't turn to the left. Daddy, I'm headed for the pole. She mutilated that pole. By the time I got there, tears in her eyes, she looked up at me and said, I told you I was going to hit the pole. I said, I know, Brianne, because you focused on the pole. You see, most of our life is asphalt. Most of it's good. Sure, there's something wrong with everything, but don't focus on the poles. That's what your tendency is to do. Ever go to churches? They just sitting around talking about the poles. We got a pole over here, pole over there. Here, pole, there, pole. You hear about the pole we had? Yeah, it was a bad pole last week. Let's talk about it Wednesday night. Let's talk about that pole. That's the way life is. But those people become narrow, nasty, nauseated. They're miserable people talking about the poles. Look at the good. Appreciate the good in your life. You see, it's a matter of focus. It's not the facts. It's focus. It's always been that way. That first church relocation committee, some came back with grapes, some came back with gripes. It was the same facts. They just focused on different things. It's kind of like Grandma and Grandpa. You might have heard about them. They took their grandkids on vacation. All of a sudden, they saw a big sign that said Nature Park. They thought, oh, that'd be good for the kids. Nature trails and that kind of thing. They turned in. They really realized it was a nature park. I'm talking natural park. I'm talking clothing optional lifestyle. You understand what I'm saying? For you guys out of the hills, I'm talking naked people. You got that? They didn't know what they're going to do. We got our grandkids here, the nudist colony. How are we going to do it? They're trying to get the car turned around. They're trying to keep the kids from looking. And here come four people on bicycles, not a stitch on. They said, oh, no, they're going to see them. They're trying to raise up so they can't see it, but the kids are jumping out the back seat. Look at those people. Look at those people. And they said, oh, no, they've already, it's too bad. They said, look at them, Grandpa, Grandpa, look at those people. They don't have their safety helmets on. Now, how could they focus on that? They focused on that because that's what they've been taught all their life to focus on. The Bible says focus on what God has done, not what he hasn't done yet. Focus on the good. You say, well, I don't have any good. Well, everybody's got some good. I mean, if you can't be thankful for anything, be thankful for your nose. I mean, just be thankful God put your nose on right side up instead of upside down. I mean, what if God had put your nose on upside down? Every time it rained, you'd drown, right? And every time you sneeze, you'd blow your thankless head off. So be thankful for your nose. And N stands for now. Be thankful now. Some of you say, well, I'll be thankful when I get the big church. I'll be thankful. No, you be thankful now. There's a little kid. His dad came home from work and said, Dad, how much money? He said, well, son, you're not supposed to ask questions like that. Well, how much do you make an hour? Well, son, I'm not going to tell you. Oh, could you tell me how much you make an hour? Well, I make $20 an hour. He said, well, that's pretty good, Dad. Could you loan me $6? Dad said, son, why you just asked me that to get some money? Go to your room. He's pretty rude to his son and kind of hollered at him a little bit. And he felt bad after it. He said, you know, I ought to go apologize. Maybe he, you know, maybe he needs the $6. I don't know. So he goes in the room and says, son, you know, I'm real sorry. And I shouldn't have hollered at you. You know, if you really need $6, I can get you. Dad, you give me $6? Yeah, I can give you $6. He gives him the $6. And here they are. He said, no, don't go, Dad. Wait a minute, don't go. And he gets his pillow and he pulls it back. Underneath the pillow are some $1 bills. He pulls out $1 and he counts out 14 $1 bills. He said, now you've given me six. Let's see, six and 14. I got $20. Daddy, I got $20. Dad, here's $20. May I have an hour of your time? You see, many times we forget that now is really important. I do you know what's important? That stands for K. How do you know what's important? That's just probably the easiest one. You just go to the end of life and live it backwards. You go to your funeral. That's what we call it in our society. It's kind of like a box ceremony. You know, they put you in the box and they have a little ceremony. You know, life's kind of like that, and it's like Monopoly. You know, Monopoly, some got Boardwalk, some got Park Place, some get those reds and greens, remember those kind? Some get Baltic, you know, students have Baltic on the end, gets about $6 rent, you know, it's pretty pitiful property. And some got the electric company, they feel like they're working all the time, but it doesn't really matter because after Monopoly, what happens? Everything goes back in the box. And that's the way life is. One day, we call it a funeral. They're going to put your box down the middle, you're going to be in it, and they're going to have a ceremony, and your family's going to go eat potato salad. That's what's going to happen. Now, to decide what's really important, you go to the end of the ceremony. And what's really important is the same thing that's important for everybody. And it's only three things, and it's the same three things for everybody. And it's faith, and it's family, and it's friends. That's who shows up at everybody's box. Faith, because that's what gets you out of the box. And it's just not faith in a church or faith in a religion or a denomination. It's faith in a person. You see, the only person who came out of the hole was Jesus Christ. And he's the only person who gets you out of your hole. There was a workhorse at a camp. The workhorse had worked for many years, but finally the boss got so mad at it one day, he said, throw the horse in the trash hole and keep dumping on it till it dies. I'm sick of that horse. And at this particular work camp, they dumped trash every hour. They threw the workhorse in the hole, and every hour they would dump trash on that old workhorse. But that old workhorse would just shake off the trash and stomp on it. Every hour, another dump. He'd shake it off and stomp on it. And an interesting thing started to happen. The old workhorse started to rise in the hole. And after about the third day, he shook off some trash, and he stomped on it, and he walked out of the hole. I don't know where you are today. Maybe some of you walk in today, and you feel like you're in a hole. But let me tell you, you can stomp on it and walk out of it. Because Jesus Christ came out of the biggest hole, death itself. Because he shook it off and walked on it, you too can shake it off and walk on it. I get called to speak at various places. Many times it's out in the country, out so far they get USA Yesterday. You ever been in those places? Takes them about 2 hours to watch 60 Minutes. I mean, it is out there. They say, oh, Dr. Lowry, we want you to come speak to us. And I look at my secretary, and she's going like this, you know. And I'm saying, you know, Delta doesn't fly out there, you know. And so I like to fly those big planes, you know, that make you feel safe. You're not safe, but they make you feel safe because they tell you things like, put your tray in its upright and locked position, you know, like that's going to help. You know, you ever read in the paper, you know, fiery ball falls 30,000 feet, but those who had their tray in their upright and locked position walked right out of that plane, you know, with their potato salad. But they make you feel safe. So I always say, what, you know, how am I going to get there? And they always say this, we got somebody in our church that's got a plane. That scares me to death when they say that. I get her to ask some particular questions like, does the plane have a roll bar? That's one good question. And does it have a bug screen? And do they do crop dusting on the side? When you cut on the reading light, does it slow down? I mean, that's the kind of questions I ask. Finally, I realize I don't want to get in this plane. I'm not coming. And they say, they get real spiritual. They say, Dr. Lowry, aren't you a man of God? Don't you have faith? And I say, well, wait a minute. This isn't the problem. The problem is I got enough faith. The problem is you don't have enough plane. That's the problem. You see, we're not talking about faith here in anything but Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you've never put your faith in Christ alone for salvation, I'm going to tell you, you can't get out of the box. Religion won't get you out of the box. Denomination won't get you out of the box. Your good works won't get you out of the box. Jesus Christ will get you out of the box. Amen. Today, put your faith in Christ. And then we have family and we have friends. You see, that's what's important in life. And then S stands for share. Share. The key to life is understanding what you have to share with others. There was a little boy missing one Sunday afternoon. They couldn't find him. They looked all Sunday afternoon. They called in all the emergency units. They called in lots of folks to look for him. The next day they called in more emergency units. The next day they called in more. They could not find this kid. And finally one of the workers said, "This kid is only 2 years old. He cannot be far away. Somehow we're missing this kid. We've got to join hands and look for this kid. If we come to a tree, let's break hands, but then join hands again. We've got to make sweeps because somehow this kid is close." That's what they did that day. They made huge sweeps of the area. On about the third sweep, they found this little boy in a ditch. But it was too late. He was dead. They took that lifeless body and they handed it to his mother. And the mother took that lifeless body and looked in the eyes of all those rescue workers. And here's what she said. "Why didn't you join hands sooner? Why didn't you join hands sooner?" You see, today we send out a group to join hands. Because I want to tell you, there's a lot of people in the ditch. There's a lot of people who need to be saved. We need to share that. And that's going to take sacrifice. You say, "Why should I do that?" Let me see if I can illustrate. There was a man, he pulled in the parking lot. He just parked in the first available place. And somebody pulled up right beside him and said, "You know, that's where I always park. You took my place. Could you move? That's my place." And he was somewhat discouraged, but he said, "Oh, okay." And he moved to another place. He went into a classroom, and they were having Sunday school, and he sat down in the first available place, and some lady came up and said, "You know, that's where I always sit. You took my place. That's my place." And he got up and he moved. And he went into the worship service, and he sat somewhere over there, and somebody came in and said, "That's my place. You took my place." And he got up and moved. That day, the preacher prayed an interesting prayer. That day, the preacher prayed that they would actually see Jesus in their congregation. As the prayer ended, that man stood up. He raised out his hands and they could see the nail prints in his hands. They could see the scars in his feet, and the man beside him said, "What happened to you?" And Jesus said, "I took your place." You see, my friend, we give thanks to Jesus Christ. We live a life of thanks because he took our place. Because he came back, we can come back. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you're good. Thank you that we can live a life of thanks. Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you personally, that they don't know that they know that there's a day in their life when they gave up on being good, on being religious, and trusted you alone, what a great day to give their life to Christ. Lord, we thank you for these graduates, the sacrifice that they've made. Lord, help us always to understand that it's always pale in comparison to the sacrifice you made for us. So, Lord, we give back to you not out of obligation, but out of celebration. Knowing that you're good, knowing that your plans for us are good, we give back to you a life of thanks. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.